The Lord be with you. Good morning and welcome to Grace Lutheran Church. Today is the fourth Sunday in Lent, and we are happy that you are here with us this morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the ninth chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered him, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is not this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the Pharisees, the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight, and he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division amongst them. So they said again to the blind man, What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and he had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So for the second time they called the man who had been born blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "Have I told you already, and you would not listen? Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and you would teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ. Amen.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The reality is that whenever we see a tragedy or difficulties in life, we often like to think, maybe whether you believe it or not, that God is somehow punishing us. This was evident back when Hurricane Katrina hit New Orleans. Several crazy fundamentalist Christians came out amidst all the floods and the damage and said, "See, New Orleans is getting what they deserve. The place is full of paganism and unbelief, and the Lord is punishing that city for their unbelief." This is utter rubbish. Because if that is the case, I don't want to believe in a God who somehow physically punishes us for our sin. The reality is if that's the case and that's what we want to believe, then what is it that you deserve and I deserve? What is it that those fundamentalists deserve? Let's face it all in reality. We may not be blind like the man in our gospel reading today. We may not have a horrible outlook with our health. We may not have cancer or AIDS or diabetes. But in the end, we are all really messed up people with messed up bodies. Even the young, the fit and the trim, the Olympians, the people who do all sorts of crazy exercising every day, even they get the flu. Even they need glasses to see. Everything that we have, from our glasses to the receding hairlines to the plethora of medications that are in your medicine cabinet to that special calendar that you have with all of your doctor visits lined up, should tell you plainly and simply that we are messed up. We are sinful people. We are broken. Our bodies tell us each and every day what life is like in a world that is broken as well, groaning under the weight of sin and evil. My own doctor this week told me that I have a horrible back and that I need to be standing more. Horrible news. So now I have to use a standing desk in my office at my computer. I can't sit down because it really hurts. This is evidence to me that I am broken. But what sin did I somehow commit that this is meaning now that I can't sit down as much as I used to? Nothing. I'm broken just like everybody else. Just as we heard at the beginning of this Lenten season, from dust you came and to dust you shall return. And it doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter how you look at what you're eating or don't eat. It doesn't matter if you've got a crazy gym membership that you go to all the time. I think those things are crazy. But if you think that's great, great. Everything in our lives is broken. If you're the 11th month old who's simply trying to figure out how to walk and the talk, if you're the teenager who is becoming more and more independent and trying to figure out how not to be like your parents, or if you are the retiree or the senior citizen who's having a hard enough time just doing the simple tasks that were so simple such few years ago, death is all at our doorstep. It is the great equalizer for all of us. And sure, we should thank God for our bodies. As the first article of the Catechism says, He's given me my eyes, my ears, all senses and reason. But we're supposed to think this. We're supposed to look at these things and say that it is not just simply us coming out of some crazy happenstance of evolution, but that God has created us. But we're supposed to say this, right? What about the person who's been horribly disfigured from an accident? Or what about the man or the woman who has contracted an incurable disease? What about the blind or the deaf? What about the paralyzed? Should they thank God for their lot in life? When your back is in constant pain, when the cancer has begun to spread, it's not easy to say, "Thank you, Lord, for this body." So let's stop denying it. Let's stop living for the reality that somehow things are going to get better with us. Your parents were sinful, so you were born sinful. And that means that your children are sinful because you created them in sin. Sin means imperfection. We get sick, we get ugly, we get old, we die. Sin's effects are seen not merely in immortality, but in mortality. Death is the final sentence that we deserve. And that's why, in the midst of all of this depressing talk about how terrible my body is and how messed up we are, that it is such good news to hear about again who truly Jesus Christ is. True God and true man, born for us, living, breathing, seeing, hearing, speaking, eating, drinking. All of these things that you and I do. And yet we see in him as well that he is nothing but pure grace and love and mercy. These words are not shadowy, wispy feelings or emotions. Christianity today has become so sugary and so plastic with all of the thoughts about how great and awesome our God is. But yet we're all along saying, my back hurts, I can't see. Why do I have to get another prescription? The beauty about Christianity is that God becomes one of us. He who knew no sin became our sin. This is not wispy, sugary feelings, sentiments, or emotions. God's love and his grace and his mercy has fingers and toes, eyes and ears. God is dwelling in our flesh and blood. He has a name, Jesus the Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And this is why it's so lovely to hear about this today. And it is so very important that we as Christians constantly confess that he became one of us, that he became flesh. John says this as well, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands. John was there. He embraced Jesus. He touched him. He saw him. He heard him. That's physical stuff. It's the physical body of a physical God who wrapped himself in the things of his creation so that he may work for you and for me in the midst of our broken bodies. But this is also why John says as well in 1 John that anyone who denies that Jesus was in the flesh is an antichrist. If he hadn't taken on our bodies would never be saved. If our bodies had not been saved, then we're no more good than the dust from where we came. And yet we still live in a fallen and broken and dying world, and our bodies are fallen, broken, and dying. We're not headed for better things, but for destruction. And yet for us as Christians, all of the promises of the resurrection of all flesh are yours here and now today. It doesn't mean that we won't suffer under the weight of crosses that we bear. It doesn't mean that we won't be disgusted or frightened by or disillusioned as to what's happening with our bodies. But as God's baptized dear people, baptized in the Christ's death and resurrection, we await the day when our own bodies will burst forth from the grave, more lovely than you could ever imagine, full of hair. I cannot wait. All of the things that we dreamed of that seem impossible will happen. The blind will now see. The lame will leap. The mute will sing out louder than the angels. The eyes will forget how to cry. The word cancer, diabetes, glasses, back support, hearing aids, living wills, pain medication, or doctors will not even be spoken of in heaven. Morticians will find another work. I will be unemployed. And so it will be in the new creation when it is all very good again, the new heavens and the new earth. And it all starts with Jesus. You see how much the Pharisees and the Jews got it all mixed up. All that they could do with each other is look at one another and say, you're a sinner. You're an utter sinner. You deserve what you're getting. You deserve what you're getting. And I dare say that we need to be warned about this today because we do the same thing as Christians. Rather than showing the same love and mercy and hope to one another who are physically broken like us, we cast up walls. We cast our judgments. But it all must be brought down to the rubble with Christ who calls us to repentance and who makes us new yet even today in our baptism. Have you noticed? 4 out of 4 Sundays in Lent, it's all about baptism, baby. It's all about baptism. Well, where was the baptism today? He spit. Ew. And made mud, that even with God's word attached to that water and to that mud placed on this man's eyes, that which was blind now sees. That even in a little bit of water from that font with God's holy name attached, the Jesus the Christ has taken you and buried you with him and resurrected you with him. And in all of this, you now grow and live. In all of your baptism, humanity is now in him, you are in him, and you shall rise. And so, yes, we are messed up people with messed up bodies. If you're going to look for me standing in my office and saying, why are you standing all the time? There you have it. But we shall not always be so. All of this here today, all that you are receiving and partaking of today isn't simply about going to paradise or just simply going to heaven. Today is all about God meeting you and forgiving you and granting you life everlasting, but also telling you that it's not just about heaven and paradise, but it is also about the resurrection of your body on the last day. That is the true end of our Christian path. Then you shall be well, for your own body will reflect the full glory of the body to which you've been baptized into. So today, as demented and as crazy as it may sound, we thank God for our fallen and broken nature. We thank him that we are messed up, sick, ugly, weak, sagging, confused, and dying. Because even in our broken bodies, by faith, we perceive the working of good, the good and gracious will of God, who has already kicked death to the curb for you. Today, he has set before you and your broken body the broken body and blood of his Son, Jesus Christ, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sins. And as you come to this altar this day, you feast on his Son, the body and blood of Jesus that will strengthen and preserve you, as we say at the end of the Eucharist, in both body and soul. Body and soul until life everlasting. And as you leave his altar this day, you can depart in peace because your own eyes have seen the salvation accomplished for you in the giving and shedding of his body and blood for your forgiveness. This, my dear friends, is what the ancients would call the medicine of immortality. It's right in front of your eyes today. Accomplished for you, given for you. Your body has been washed clean. Your conscience is now cleansed. You now will rise with Christ. Your bodies are temples of his Spirit. And in him we are one flesh and one blood, one body. And we shall rise on the last day, even as he raised himself. He will glorify you on the last day as he is glorified. Even now when you don't feel so glorious, he will bring you to that place where you will never be called sick, weak, or dying, but holy, innocent, strong, and alive in Christ. To Christ alone be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. Freely you have received, freely let us bring our gifts to the Lord.